Hi, I'm Hilary Hess. You're listening to A Helping of Happiness. This podcast is for busy moms like me who have a full life and are constantly finding themselves in a balancing act. I definitely do not have it all together, but I hope that sharing the things that I have learned as a mom of seven kids and the things that you will hear from the guests that I have on will be things that will really inspire and help us all to be a little bit better and give us all some fresh ideas and have a little bit of fun while we're at it. I can't wait for you guys to meet my friend Stephanie Bellows. Stephanie is a mom of four children. She lives in Northern Nevada, and I love following her on my social media because she always has the best mom ideas, the funnest things to do. She's going to talk to us today about summer fun, things that she likes to do with her kids. And also, she has a unique situation because her daughter has been diagnosed with type 1 diabetes. So we get to learn a little bit about that. So meet Stephanie. Hey, Steph.
Hey.
Hey, it's so fun to have you on the podcast today.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Before we got on, we were just talking about the craziness of me. I was trying to get Steph some podcast questions about, you know, kind of what we wanted to talk about. And we had a little dental emergency with my little guy knocking his two bottom teeth. So instead of sitting up, they're pointed all the way down and I had to push them all the way back in. And now they're at this really crazy angle and so gross, but my husband's like, how did you know to stick them back in their mouth? And I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember where I heard that. I don't know. Have you heard that before when you were?
No, I haven't either. Yeah. I probably would have left them because I'm.
Yeah. So if your kid ever knocks their teeth out, at least babies, stick them back in where they should be and they grow back most.
Wow.
Yes. So
good to know.
Tip for the day. Not what you thought you would get out of our podcast. So I wanted to talk to Steph a lot about so many things because Steph's kind of my like idol as far as being a mom in the summertime. You have so many cool things. So last summer you did a really cool like bucket list with your kids. I remember seeing all over social media, and I feel like me and Steph, I guess I should give a background of how we know each other, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So me and Steph grew up together. We met at girls camp when we were like 12 and just became really great buddies and grew up and went to high school together and middle school and basketball camp together at BYU. Yep.
Oh, I forgot about that. That's right.
Roomies. Yep. That was really fun.
That was fun.
So, so, but now we live apart. So I feel like we just get to view each other via social media and like mom together online.
Yeah, totally. I love it.
So tell me about your bucket list that you guys did last year. Cause I remember it was like some big thing of butcher paper or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we just used a big sheet of butcher paper. And I actually have to get credit to my daughter, Ashby. It was her idea.
Awesome.
And she executed it for me. And I was like, oh, this is perfect. So, but she kind of gathered ideas from the boys, just kind of asked them, like, what are some things you want to do? And just kind of put them all out there with a little check mark box so we could check it off as we went. And it was so cute. She has such good handwriting that it was like, darling. So I ended up
It looked like it should be on Pinterest. It was really cool.
Yeah, I could have never done it that neat. And so we ended up hanging it up just kind of by our kitchen. And it was the coolest thing. The kids just loved, you know, going over there and checking it off when we would do it. And they would get excited. I think the coolest part about it is if we had a down day during the summer where, I don't know if you get like this, but I feel like sometimes it's great to have nothing planned. So we just, you know, have nothing planned, but then we would want to do something. So then we'd look on the bucket list and just say, well, what could we do today? It's hot. You know, we have water balloons. Let's do that one. Or, you know, we could kind of choose from a list instead of like, I don't know what we want to do. And
oh, I love that. So the kind of cures the boredom factor a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And for me, sometimes I feel overwhelmed by having so much time. It sounds weird, but
yeah. Oh, no, I think it kind of goes, you have to have a balance, right? Because when you have too much stimulation, that's where I am right now in the month of May. I feel like I'm going out of my mind because there's too much going on.
But
then come June, it's like the opposite. So they're all fighting because they're bored. And so
exactly.
What are the ages? So you've got Ashby's the oldest and then
Ashby's the oldest. Boys. She's 14. Yep. And then we have three boys. Dalton is almost 12 in July. And then Brooks is 8. And then Ryder turns 7 in July.
Oh my gosh.
Got all the school aged kids. They're all in school.
And it really kills me that we live so far, because my kids line up right, like exactly
your
kids' age, almost to the day for a couple of them.
Yeah. Yep. I know. I don't want to talk about it. It'll make me sad.
We don't need tears on this podcast.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. So tell me some of the other things that were on the list. So you mentioned water balloons.
We tried to do like a good mix of like simple ideas that don't take a lot of like planning, and then more big planned ones, like, you know, trip to Tahoe. That was more of a planned one. And then we just had some simple ideas like go to the park, do s'mores one night, water balloons, go for a walk, like a hike, really simple. She had some cute ones on there too. That was like give 100 compliments in a day. That was really cute. Visit dad at work for lunch. Cause we like never do that, you know?
Yes. Actually, I'm so glad you said that. Cause that was a good one for our bucket list. I need to do this too.
Yeah. Or some other ones. And then we had like the zoo, you know, like you could look on, like, I think we looked a lot on Pinterest too, like for ideas, and they have cute ideas that you can kind of, and then fit it around. But I think it's important to have like, you know, really low key ones where you literally don't have to get anything like painting,
right.
That could be on there.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. So. And then I also did something too that was really awesome. I'm going to do again this summer, and I can't take credit for this either because I got it from another Instagram mom friend of mine.
The biggest thing is that you implement it, I think. Yeah. How many ideas do we have pinned on Pinterest that we never do?
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. So she had these summer projects. So each kid picks two summer projects. One is a research project that they pick, and the other are books that they want to finish. And they have to be, you know, depending on their age, like big books or small books. And at the end, if they complete it, and it has to take a long time, like preferably the whole summer.
Like, let's not get it done in one day. And then
we got to stretch this out as much as we can.
We have two more months. What do we do?
And you can put, I put a monetary value on it when they finish to motivate them. And they like love that. And so it's up to you. But I did like $50 a project, was just kind of a lot. But so I made them work. Like they had to be a good research project. They had to put a lot of time into it. And the book, like, you know, depending on their age, it had to be pretty long. I liked that a lot, because when there was downtime, they're like, what do I do? I'm like, go to your work on your project. I'm that mom.
Get out of my hair.
I'm like, we still have to learn.
That's right. So what were some of their topics? Like what kinds of
things? So Dalton, I think he researched a lemon shark because he loves lemon sharks. That was pretty cool. And you know what Ashby did actually? Because she was doing all this, like she did the bucket list for me, and she did a chore chart for me too. She organized me, and I kept giving her projects that like the Pinterest ones that I don't ever do. And she would just tackle it. And it was like the best thing ever. And I said, hey, this can be your project. She's like, okay.
I think I need Ashby to come over for a while too. That's so awesome. How do you guys work chores in the summer? Because I know everyone kind of does things a little different. And sometimes it's like times and seasons even. It's different.
We've done it for quite a while now. It's worked really good. It's a simple idea I found on Pinterest. Again, it's not my own. I just copied it from someone. But it's the morning high five. Have you seen that?
Uh-uh.
It's super cute. It's five things that they have to complete each morning. And then when they're done, they give you a high five when they're finished. So it's cute. The boys love it. But it's like, so the five things are like make your bed, clean your room, brush your teeth and get ready, complete your morning job chore. And then I have a chore chart separate for that. That's like, you know, clean the downstairs, help sort the laundry, clean out, you know, like kind of zones of the house that rotates. And then the last one is like read your scriptures or play, you know, practice piano. You can add whatever you want, but it's just like five things.
And if you just keep getting more and more, it's like,
It gets a little complicated. Yeah. It gets a little confusing. So they like that. It's been good. Like they've gotten into a pretty good routine. I still have to nag them, but
Yeah, I don't think that any kids, I mean, at least that I know, will willingly do their chores every day. There's every once in a while that rare day where you're like, oh, you look like
yeah.
motivated for some reason. Maybe you
they usually have really ulterior motives. Yeah. That's funny.
Oh, that's great. So do they usually like within the morning time? And then
I try to make them do it in the morning before they have any screen time at all. Yes. So, because that's the only way that motivates them. If they don't, then they won't do it. They'll just, oh, I'll do it later, you know.
Yes. So how do you guys do your screen time? Because I feel like that's another one for the summer.
Yeah. Yep.
I mean, sometimes I'm really strict and some days it's like,
oh yeah,
forget it. Just go.
I'm the same way. In a perfect world, I really try to have them, like I said, not turn it on until they're done.
Yeah.
So that really motivates them. They try to finish in the morning, but in the morning they get up so early, the boys, that they do watch TV before we get up. So
as long as they let you sleep some, it's kind of worth it.
Sleep is more important at that point. But after that, I try to.
If you wake me up at that TV.
Yeah. We did do some cute technology punch cards.
Ooh,
that's too. Fun. Then that was another project I had Ashby do for me. And it was like, you know, 20 minutes, everything, and they had to earn it. So
that's a good idea.
Yeah. So I liked that, especially for the boys. I feel like Ashby's a little, she doesn't need as much.
Yeah. My girls aren't really, they like the movies more. I think the girls want to watch TV. Yeah. The boys more want to do video games.
Video games. Yeah, totally.
I'm trying to decide what we're going to do because during the school year, we've kind of kept it to really no video games during the week just because we had so many problems with the kids saying their homework was done and it really wasn't that we finally just
forget it.
You just Friday and Saturday, if you get
kind of a treat, you know, to do it.
Oh, yeah. Then you know? They're like motivated during, you know, the weekend to help too. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I like
that. I don't
know
if I can keep that up.
Cool. I know. Or I think at least if they get their chores done and then like a little bit of reading time, that's what I try to do too. Like, have you read yet? Then I feel like, okay, like it's summer too. Like I'm pretty lax during summer, like, you know, because they don't watch TV very much or do video games during the school year. I feel like because they're so busy with
after school stuff.
Yeah.
My goal in the summer is kind of wear them out in the morning.
Yeah.
Chores done. And then we can just kind of kick back in the afternoon and this summer, I'm thinking maybe that's when I can do some podcast recording is when everyone's been at the pool all morning and maybe they're sleeping. And as long as they're not yelling at each other playing video games and not waking up the baby, then they can play for a little while. We'll see.
Seriously. Yeah, that's like me too. Like for years, and I actually still do it now. It's kind of funny because they're older, but I would do quiet time after they didn't nap anymore.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And we still do that too in the afternoons. And it's not that I'm sick of them, but I'm kind of like, I need a break. And so, and they do too. Yeah, they need a break from each other. Does. Yeah. And so I'm like that too. Like in the afternoon, if we're all home, I try to have quiet time and everyone's in their rooms doing their own things. And that's another good, you know, time to do their projects. I'll say, do your projects.
I love it. Go do your projects.
Read a book, you know? And so I feel like they're more rested. Like even if they don't sleep, they're in better moods after quiet time because they've kind of had a little downtime from everyone. And
I think because we're all together all summer, they need that. I need it too. We call it station time actually.
Oh yeah.
I implemented it when we were, I don't even remember where I read it.
So
someone shared it online or something. Mm-hmm. I mean like years ago, but they go different. So I'd have different stations set up because they wouldn't stay in their rooms. So it was, and now they would, I think, but
when
we were younger, it was like 30 minutes per station and like the timer would go off and then they would rotate. So it was like one station was, that's when they would do their quiet chores.
I love that. Yeah.
One of them was like the reading station and one of them was the, like writing or journaling or it seems like there was even like coloring for the little ones, some kind of artsy type thing. And then another one was Legos and another
one. I like that.
I can't remember what else, but they all had to be either just something. Oh, I think the other one maybe was piano and we put them on the electric piano and turn the volume way down.
Yeah. You know,
so that, you know,
we have electric piano with headphones. It's the best thing ever.
It is. I know. Right.
Yeah.
Except
that's
for some
good idea.
When you're not wearing the headphones. And I'm like, that's interesting. That's a song that's saved on the piano that I know you can't play that yet. So that doesn't really count.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I want to try that. That's a good idea. I think the kids, I think they would really like that.
Mine really liked that. And then I kind of saved those morning chores for more of the heavy cleaning or the, one of their chores is actually exercise on their chore chart. Because mine would be great. Just not doing, I mean, some of mine really are active, but some of the others, like, okay, at least 20 minutes, go take a walk or ride your scooter.
Great. Yeah. I love that.
Get sweaty and then we'll go to the pool and come home and take a break. But
that's perfect.
What about summer snacking? What do you guys do for that? Are your kids just always hounding you for food? I know that's a big issue.
Yeah, they are. I once saw it, but I never have done it yet, but I think it's a good idea. The vegetables, you know, like trays, like just stuff that they can grab.
Yeah.
So like they just grab stuff, but if you have stuff ready for them, I feel like they would grab it even if it was like vegetables, you know?
Yeah.
So I need to do better at that. Yeah.
I think I'm going to teach my kids how to make a veggie tray this summer. I think that's going to be the ticket. Then I don't have to do it every time. If I just show them a few times,
there you go.
Here's how you chop them up and then I can delegate. Isn't delegating like the way
to go? It's the best. Yeah. Sometimes I'm like, am I abusing this power? I don't know.
No,
I'm
you're
so capable.
A very great adult, right?
Yeah.
So awesome. Oh gosh. So another big thing that you guys kind of have to deal with is Ashby has diabetes. So how does that kind of play into your summer stuff? Are there days that she's high or low or pretty managed, or how do you guys do that?
Yeah, she's pretty managed. She does a good job. She, although during the summer it is true it changes because she's not quite as active as she is normally. She's like doing soccer and track and basketball in like one day. She's so crazy.
She's awesome. She reminds me of my nieces. I have nieces like that, and they're just always in like four different sports and they just thrive on that.
Yeah. So in the summer, we do find she is a little higher than normal, but the good part is we just adjust it. She's on an Omnipod pump. And so with the pump, you can, and with shots too, you can just adjust it for your activity level. So we usually just adjust her insulin level to make it a little higher. And then it's just hard in the summer though, because some days she's, you know, laying around, not as active. And the other day she is active. So it's,
Swimming all day or something.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a challenge, but she does a good job with it. She just, you know, knows how to adjust it, and she'll have questions, you know, and we'll talk about it, you know, what I think, what she thinks, and go from there.
Is she pretty good at monitoring it herself, or are you pretty involved still?
Oh yeah. No, she's really good at monitoring herself. She's just a pro. We do monitor her still though. What she has now, it's pretty cool. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called the Dexcom. It's a continuous glucose monitor. And so it's under her skin all the time. And it actually transmits her blood sugar levels all day long and all night.
Oh my gosh.
And then it shows up on her phone and her watch, and then my phone and my watch and Ryan's, you know, anyone's that wants to follow her. So we know her number all the time. So at night, you know, if she goes low, it alarms us, and then I get up and then I'll go give her juice if she needs it. So it's awesome. So that's, you know, I just monitor her, but she's really good about knowing when she's low or when she's high. She'll take insulin. She's super responsible, and she's been independent since sixth grade by the doctors. They said she could manage it on her own. So she doesn't see the nurse at school or anything. She just does it all on her own. So
how old was she when she was, and tell us how, like, tell us the story. How did you figure out that she was diabetic, and how old was she?
So it was 2 weeks before her 11th birthday. And so, Ryan's family, his mom and both his brothers both have type 1 diabetes. And so I kind of knew the signs to look for because, you know, they haven't. So I was always aware of the signs. And so, so some of the ones she had was, she was going to the bathroom a lot. She, was thirsty. One of the signs is weight loss, which I didn't notice that on her cause she's so thin. But when I look back, I see she was at the bottom.
Yeah.
So I think it was by the time I started noticing those signs of the frequent urination and the thirstiness, and she was really lethargic too. She didn't have any energy. Like when she would play sports, you know, she'd be doing like line drills and she'd be like the last one. I'm like, that's not normal, you know, like that's weird. So I knew those were the signs, but she was like 60 pounds. So looking back, I'm like, whoa, that was really, you know what I mean? So I think she'd already lost weight and I didn't really notice it. Cause when I started weighing her, I was like, she's not losing weight, but she was really at the bottom, I think, of where she could have been.
Wow.
So, and then another sign, she had blurred vision. And so when they get super high blood sugar, like, the sugar actually goes into your eyes, I guess. I don't know. And it makes it blurry. And so we just had her eyes checked too. So as soon as and they were perfect, 20/20. So when she said she started to have blurred vision, I was like, ooh, and I actually didn't know that was a sign. That was when I didn't know about it. And then when I Googled it, I saw that that was, and I was just like, oh, my heart sank. I was like, oh man. So I just took her into her doctor and just told him, I think she has type 1 diabetes, and they just tested her blood right there. And then she was like only 400, which isn't that bad. A lot of people don't see the signs until they have like flu-like symptoms or they're like throwing up and super duper sick. And that usually you're in like the 900s to 1,000, which is like, you could, you know, you'll go into ketoacidosis.
Oh yeah. Die.
So we actually caught it quick. And so that was good. And they just said, yeah, they did it twice. They took her blood twice just to make sure. And I just said, yeah, she has diabetes. Her blood sugar is really high. And so then they sent us over to the hospital and it was crazy. They just, you know, it's like, they give you all this training and just tell you how to do everything, count carbs and insulin. And it's just like a crash course of like medical, what you need to do. It was wild. And we actually knew a lot, Ryan and I, because of his family. And so I can't imagine not knowing anything, because hereditary is a part of it, but it's not all of it. Like you can still have the gene and then never have type 1, because it's also an environmental factor also, as they're not sure, but something in your environment, like a virus or they don't know, something triggers it. And then your body just starts attacking itself. And it's because it's an autoimmune disease.
Yeah.
It's not controlled by diet or exercise at all. It's different than type 2. So it's kind of confusing for people.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of misconceptions surrounding the type 1 diabetes, a lot. What are some of the other big misconceptions that you guys hear of?
Yeah, so that's, I feel like that is the hardest part about it, actually. Well, not the hardest part, but that's one of the hardest parts about it for Ashby and for our family, is the stereotypes, because it's just like, so they're like, you don't look diabetic, you know, or
should you're I
not, they don't say it, but I'm thinking they, you know, I'm thinking that they're thinking like, you know, you're not overweight. So one of the big misconceptions is that, you know, you ate too much sugar, which is completely false. It has nothing to do with, you know, how much sugar you ate, or your diet or exercise has nothing to do with it. So it's an actual autoimmune disease. So your body just turns on itself and starts attacking its own pancreas cells, and it kills those insulin cells. So your body no longer produces insulin. So you can't, you know, can't break down the sugar. And so you need insulin to survive. You can't, it's not curable, you know, yet.
Because the cells
you
are
can't
gone.
Prevent it. There's nothing she could do to prevent it. You know, it's not. So it's, I think those are one of the big ones. It's not about sugar at all, which is funny. She checks her blood sugar, but it's not about sugar at all. It's about carbs.
Yeah.
So she counts her carbs, and then she calculates how many carbs in a meal, and then that's how much insulin she takes. And so everyone's different. So she takes usually about, for every 20 carbs, she'll take one unit of insulin. And then she has correction also. So if she, depending on what her blood sugar number is, so say if she's over 250, then she would need correction onto that, because it's higher than we would like it to be. So it's like a mathematical.
It is. You have to get really good every day and be so aware of what's going in your body. That's really hard.
Yep. And the cool part is, like, when Sherry, my mother-in-law, was diagnosed when she was 16 years old, you know, they were like, you should never eat sugar. Just, you know, you should just only, you know, eat healthy, and which is good. But, you know, so she didn't have like a candy bar like for like 20 years. And now the thought is totally different. They're like, your body's healthy. You can have whatever you want. You just cover it with insulin. So that's a big misconception too, is people, which I know they're being thoughtful, which is sweet. They're like, does she need, you know, an alternate dessert? Or I'm like, nope, she can eat whenever she wants, you know, she just has to cover it with insulin. And they just look at you like you're crazy, but it's
that
true.
That is so great though. So I mean,
nice.
Traveling, it can be a little tricky like that too.
Yes. Oh, definitely. And we find she's always higher when we travel. So we just know that going in. So we just give her a little more insulin on her, you know, basal rate, which is, it gives her pump gives her a little bit of insulin all day, just little bursts. And then she boluses, it's called. So she gives herself a dose of insulin before each meal. So we just,
so is her pump like under her skin or is it exposed?
No, it's exposed. Yeah. So her pump is unique. It's a tubeless pump. Most pumps are tubes. So you have a site and then it's tubed to your pump and that's how the insulin flows. Well, hers is the Omnipod and it's actually a pod that we change every 3 days. That's not connected to a tube. So it's wireless. It's really cool. Oh, so her PDM, it's called, her device that she boluses from. So she puts how much insulin she needs and it wirelessly communicates to the pod and delivers that insulin into her skin. So when she puts it on, the needle will go in her skin and insert a cannula and then the needle will come out and that cannula stays under her skin, if that makes sense.
That's amazing. Then
that's how the insulin is delivered. And then every 3 days we change that pod site to different parts of her body and you have to rotate it so you don't get, insulin scarring. So
that's
a challenge. We got to find different places to put it. And
like, where can we put it today?
Yeah, it's very painful. You know, when she has to put it on every time, cause it's a needle, needle going in there. And so that's the challenge, but it's worth it. She really likes it because she can swim with it. She can play sports with it. She doesn't have to disconnect. So it's
really cool. So nice if it's waterproof.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's awesome. Like she water skied with it. She swam with it. Like
She's really good. Doesn't let it get her down. She just lives life to the fullest.
Yep. That's what that was really important to us too. When she was diagnosed, we told her, you know, like you can do anything you want. It's not going to stop you from doing anything that you want, like in your life at all. Like it will not do whatever you want.
You guys are so awesome. I love that. Oh,
we have good examples. Ryan's mom and his brothers are just, they have such a good attitude about it. You know, they're like, it could be not to, you know, lessen its seriousness or say that it's not hard because it's really hard.
It is really hard.
They're like, it could, you know, you could have something worse. You can live your life and
you
just have to have a good attitude about it and stay positive, which I think is huge. So I'm grateful for their examples.
Oh, so cool. Oh, so let's see, back to summer. Yes. What, you guys have any plans? You going on any big trips or anything?
Yeah, we're going to we always do a family reunion with my side of the family at Lake Almanor. Have you ever been there before?
I've never been there, but your pictures always look so cool.
It's cool. Stuff. Yeah. So it's kind of like Tahoe-ish, you know, it's got the pine trees, it's a mountain lake and it's just beautiful up there. It's super big and pretty. And so
is it as cold as Tahoe?
Yeah, it's freezing. Yeah. Yep. We all wear our wetsuits.
I was going to say, is that why you have your wetsuits?
Yep. Yep. The kids will swim without them, but I'm like, oh, nope, I'm not. Yeah.
We have
that. And my parents, it's cool. They actually just bought a house there. And and then they usually rent houses for all of us to stay at. And then we all go up and, you know, stay together and go boating and swimming and all the cousins just play together. That is really fun. Yeah. So just we love that.
Unstructured fun.
Yeah, exactly. And then the siblings, like we never get to talk. We all live here, almost all of us. And it's like, we never get together.
Because
we're so busy. So
yeah, it takes
it's sad, but it's true.
But it is true, I think. Yeah, because everybody has different schedules and they get caught in their own little busy lives. And it's
So we love that. All the siblings can, you know, visit too while the kids are having fun. So it's great.
So, and your kids have cousins that all kind of line up and age with them a little bit? Or they?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. Everyone. Ash doesn't really have, hers are all older, but she loves hanging out with, you know, the cousins too, the younger ones. But yeah, the boys, there's a lot that are the same age. So it's great.
Yeah. Oh, so fun. Okay, so I think I need to be doing your bucket list. That's for sure going to be on my list. And
sweet.
I know.
That's a good one. It was fun. I I'm like, thank you, Ashby. I give all credit to her.
I think we need to do some projects too. I think that's a great idea. I wonder if I can pay them $5 and they're like,
right? Don't let them listen to this.
I know. I'm like, I have 7 kids, and if right? I'm sick, yeah. Of the project,
seriously,
I'm definitely not going to be paying the baby to do a project. He's sleeping more, and then maybe it would be worth it.
That's funny.
Oh, that's so funny. I just think it's always good to learn a little bit more about what's going on in people's lives. I think you never really know, you know, what's happening with people. It looks like, you know, it's totally. Just all fun and going on trips and doing cool things, and you don't see the day in, day out stress of a kid with diabetes or, mm-hmm. you know, because I'm sure so there's true. A lot of sleepless nights, and there's just a lot of stress and just making sure she's fed properly and everything else. So,
yeah. That's the hardest part, is it's an invisible disease, you know? So she looks super healthy and she functions amazingly. You know what I mean? She does such a good job and she's, you know, amazing at what she does, but it's not without struggle and heartache and tears and, you know, just stressful. And so, we try to really, and one thing we do too, that I wanted to tell you about, that's kind of cool, is her. So it's kind of different, but online, a lot of people celebrate their diversity. So the anniversary of when they're diagnosed. And so I thought that was super cool. And you don't celebrate, you know, them being diagnosed, obviously, but we always make a big deal about it and celebrate her, you know, bravery and how she's handling the challenge and what a good job she's doing. And she just like lights up, like you can tell, like it really does something to help her, you know, like, I'm doing a good job. Like, it's not just normal. Like, we take it for granted. Like, she does an amazing job and we try to celebrate that. And so we'll usually take her out to dinner, give her a card, give her a little gift. And then in years past, too, a couple of years, we've done like Ryan's taken her on a trip, just him and her.
That's cool.
So that's been something that's been really cool, I think, for anyone, if anyone has a child with type 1 diabetes.
Yes, well, I love that. I feel like I've just been surrounded by it lately. Mm-hmm. One of my cousins is type
1 diabetic,
and then we have 2 kids in our bear den. We have like 6 or 7 kids in our bear den.
Wow.
Them are type 1.
Wow.
They're the same age as my little boy that's 9.
Oh, okay.
And so they're, one of them is at our house a lot, you know, is one of
you know.
So, well, and I just learned more about it when my 7-year-old got really sick a couple years ago and we were trying to figure out what was wrong with her. That was one of the things that we were, didn't end up being that, but one of our really sweet friends was like, here's the test strips, here's your monitor. So I learned a ton, just, it was a real eye opener for everybody and all my kids at that time. Cause they were like, wow, you really have to take your blood that often. And
It
my
is.
My daughter is kind of like a vampire. She actually thought it was really cool to poke her finger and get the blood every time. Which is like, my gosh.
It's definitely a family disease, you know, like everyone knows about it in our family. You know what I mean? They know all the signs. They talk about it. They actually talk about carbs and proteins and how to have a balanced meal. Yeah, it is. And they'll say like, oh, is Ashby low? I can get her a juice. And, you know, it's really neat, like in that way that they, you know, they're very aware of her and how we have to, you know, give her extra help sometimes or stop what we're doing and focus on her.
Because that is hard for, I think, for other siblings, you know, when there's a special need in the house to be put on the back burner. That can be a little bit hard, but I'm also, you know, I think it's important for them to see that, you know, those kinds of things are important and you do need to think about others sometimes. And
exactly.
This is kind of life or death. So.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, people are so funny. They're like, I could never do that, you know, like to Ashby sometimes. And she's like, well, I kind of don't have a choice.
Right.
I don't like poking myself either, but it's like, you know, if it's between death and living, like everyone can do it. Like you would do it, you know?
Right?
And she actually hated giving herself shots is the funny part. Not funny, but it's kind of sad. Like she was really, you know, some people like it doesn't bother, like they're pretty, and she's super tough, but like she, it really was hard for her. I actually went to the school when she was first diagnosed for months and went and gave her a shot for lunch because she couldn't do it. It was so sad. So when she was finally able to do it herself, that was a big step. And it's not easy for her. Like she's still, like when she has to do her paw changes, it's really painful. And she you know, we talk about breathing through the pain and, you know, giving her strategies. Like, it's tough. Like, it's not like easy. Like, she's like, oh yeah, shots don't hurt. No, they hurt, and she doesn't like it, you know, but she does it. And, you know, that's how life is. So that, you know, it builds character, and she's a better person for it. So that's what we try to focus on.
Well, I don't think it's ever easy being a mom, seeing your kids go through that either. I think,
yeah,
it's kind of like, just give it to me. I don't want them to have to go through that.
It's totally. That's so true. Yeah. There's some days I just cry, you know, I'm just like, oh, yeah. It's just, you know, and it's not because I'm like feeling sorry for her or anything, but it's just like you're saying, like, as a mother, like, it's just so hard to watch your kid do something that hard. It's like, oh, you just, you know, like you said, you'd want to take it away from them, but you know, you don't, you know, it's part of the plan, and you just have faith that it'll, you know, it's going to be good and it'll work out. And it's, you know, it's good. Life is good.
The crying kind of goes with mourn with those that mourn, right? I mean, yeah, this is a hard thing. It's okay to cry when it's hard. It's not like you're giving up. You're just being human and having some emotion. And, you know, it's, if we were robots, it wouldn't be a very nice thing to.
Oh, good. Thanks. Sometimes I feel like such a wimp. I'm like, why am I 3 years later crying about this? You know, like, I should be like,
I would be crying way more than you, I'm sure. And I would be vocalizing it on air so everyone could hear. No. It is. It's hard. It's hard being a mom, and it's hard seeing your kids go through things, but it's so hard. I mean, it's so important that we do all have to go through different struggles, and I don't know why it is that certain struggles go to certain people, but it's something that they have to go through. And as hard as it is, I think that is really what brings us closer to the Lord.
I agree.
I was talking to, I can't remember who it was that time. I guess I talked to too many people this weekend. I was out of town on a little fun weekend getaway. And, but someone was saying how, well, they didn't want to ask the Lord to help them with this little tiny thing or that little tiny thing, because they already asked for so much. And I just told them, it's not about that. He wants to hear from you. That's why he gave you the big, hard thing, is so that you'll learn how to come to him in the little stuff. You know, you can feel sad, and that's okay. That's all part of this crazy life plan that we have, is just through that hard stuff, we just become better people and become closer to the Lord. And that's kind of the choice, right? Is experience going to make me a stronger person, or am I going to give up and turn tail and run?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, I think we could just chat for every Brit. I think on here for a long time.
I know, I love it. Let's do it every week.
I know, this is a good therapy for me.
Right?
I had a grump this morning. My family's like, because my husband's been out of town all week, and they're we need Dad to come home.
Yeah, I know. I feel bad for my kids when my husband's gone too. I'm just like, oh, I'm just not as patient. Just everything, you know, I just feel off.
Feels harder, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
it does. I don't know. We kind of passed each other almost. So I flew in Sunday afternoon, and Warren flew out Sunday evening. So it was just kind of a crazy thing. My flight had been canceled, and I had a couple of different flights I was trying to get on. Finally did get home and did finally get to see him. I didn't think I'd see him at all, but
Good.
It just made for kind of a crazy passing of the baton, you know? You know, I don't know.
Totally.
Still trying to catch up, but I can't really catch up in the month of May. I'll just catch up soon. Forget it.
Yeah. May is crazy.
Well, thank you again for being on. This just really made my day, and I love hearing about how you're helping Ashby, and that she's just doing so good, and for being real with us. I really appreciate you doing all that. So
thanks for having me. I was excited.
Thank you so much for listening today. Make sure that you subscribe to this podcast so you don't miss any episodes. And it would give me a helping of happiness if you don't mind giving me a quick little review and a rating. All you have to do is click those little stars down there and tell us how we're doing. And make sure that you check out the show notes for more information that we've discussed in the podcast. You know, there'd be links in there or additional information that you might be interested in. And head over to our website, helpingofhappiness.com. There will be a lot more there as well. And we're also on all across social media. So you can grab us there or hit me an email at hill@helpingofhappiness.com. It's hill@helpingofhappiness.com. If you have any additional comments, I'd love to hear from you, or suggestions for more information you'd love to hear us talk about on here. Thanks. Have a great day.